I would like to take this opportunity now to introduce our next speaker, Sheikh Scholar, who is with us this afternoon, Sheikh Muhammad An-Ninawi, who currently lives in Atlanta, Georgia, where he is Imam with his wife and two children. A scholar originally from Syria, studied throughout much of the Muslim world under various scholars and shuyukh, including Al-Azhar Sharif. He is a frequent scholar and teacher and instructor for Al-Madina Institute. Sheikh Muhammad An-Ninawi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على البغاة الظالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وارض اللهم عن أصحابه أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين أما بعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Building on what Sidi Zayd has already mentioned, let me go with you through the Al-Qur'an Al-Azim to see two things. Since we've already talked about the Hadith of Jibreel, what are the signs of those who employ the Hadith of Jibreel? And then, what are the benefits of the Hadith of Jibreel, faith, submission, and beauty. There is a beautiful ayah in the Quran, and all the ayahs of the Quran are beautiful. This ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And if you don't mind, I'll recite it in Arabic first, and then I'll translate it. But I'd like to invite you to enter the beautiful and the blessed atmospheres of this ayah with me. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كما أرسلنا فيكم رسولا منكم يتلو عليكم آياتنا ويعلمكم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيكم ويعلمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون يا أيها الذين آمنوا. الآية or a couple of ayahs and a portion of the third ayah, Allah says كما أرسلنا. It كما gives you the feeling of continuation. What does that mean, continuation? استمرارية, which means what? As that we have sent you a messenger from amongst you. يعلمكم الكتاب والحفظ يتلو عليكم آيات الله, reciting to you the ayahs of Allah. Not only that, teaching you the book. Not only that, والحكمة, and teaching you wisdom. Look at the seerah of النبي المصطفى صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Teaching us, reciting the ayahs. In other words, giving us the faith, the book, the faith. And then, يُعَلِّمُكُمْ. التَّعْلِيم includes not only the Qur'an, now he's given us the sunnah, the faith, the submission, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and wisdom. He teaches us wisdom. And wisdom is beautiful. لذلك الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم says, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةِ, whoever is given the hikmah, فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, has been really given a great good. So that's the beauty, the beautiful aspect then of iman and submission, or faith and submission. Then Allah says, okay, so as we have sent you, as you have been sent, a messenger to teach you, to recite the book of Allah on you, to teach you the book of Allah, and to teach you wisdom, and to teach you things you have not known. So what's the result? What is the sign of believing, of having that faith, submission, and beauty? فَذْكُرُونِي. So therefore mention me, Allah says. As you have been sent all that, You have been taught all that. You have all that with you. What is the result? فَذْكُرُونِي. Mention me, Allah is telling us. Mention me. The sign of iman, submission and beauty, as the ayah puts it, فَذْكُرُونِي. Mention me. And therefore we can ask ourselves whether we are among those who are dhakirin or not. For this is the sign of iman, submission and beauty. No dhikr, no beauty, in other words. Furthermore, there is actually, Al-Quran puts a, does not put the stipulation for iman, submission and beauty, but also puts a result and a reward for iman, faith and beauty. Alright, so the sign of iman, faith and beauty, there is dhikr. There is mentioning, فَذْكُرُونِي. What's the reward? أَذْكُرْكُمْ. I will mention you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Not only that, Allah then goes to say, وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. In the most softest way possible of the Lord telling His creation, وَشْكُرُولِي, be thankful to me. وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ, and don't commit kufr. Don't convey or don't cover the bounties that I've given you. To make sure for our understanding that these ayahs talking about those who believe deeply the faith and submission, Allah says in the ayah right after that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. He's talking to those who believe. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. We don't obviously have the time to go throughout the entire ayahs and to see what the analysis of these ayahs are, but I want to stop at the middle. The consequence of faith, submission and beauty. The consequence of كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. What's the consequence? فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ as sort of almost a consequence for all that? And then أَذْكُرْكُمْ, اذكروني أَذْكُرْكُمْ, mention me, I'll mention you. Number one, you all know saying اذكروني, mention me, as if it implies that it is absent, it was absent, whatever you're making dhikr of was absent from your mind. So now you're bringing it to your mind. So the dhikr of Allah was absent from your heart, you bring it to your heart. Things were absent, you are reminded. So usually when you are reminded, it entails that they have been forgotten. Okay, we understand that. Udhkurullah, which means remember Allah. Don't forget Him, subhanahu. Don't forget His mention. But how come Allah says, أذكركم, I will mention you. Does Allah forget us? Does He remember us after He has not remembered us like we do? Absolutely not. In the Arabic language, this is called taqabul lafzi. At-taqabul lafzi, just like when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, نسوا الله فنسيهم. They forgot Allah, the meaning of the ayah, so Allah forgot them. Not that Allah forgot them, it means Allah abandoned them. Huh? Just like the Quran al-Kareem, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةً سَيِّئَةً. لكن Allah does not reward with سَيِّئَةً. لِيُجْزَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْ أَسَاءُ بِمَا كَسَبُوا. For what they did. You acquire what you did. I don't want to indulge too much in this. Let me take you to the essence. Why does Al-Quran says, اذكروني أذكركم أذكركم, I will remember you. I will remember you in ways that are different than our remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, is the point I'm trying to make. But why does Allah want to instill in us this فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ as a consequence of our faith? What's the point? It is because Al-Islam wants to build that human being in a complete built, not partial building of the human being. What does that mean? What shapes your behavior is what? Usually people's behaviors are shaped by either external elements or internal elements. What does that mean externally? Well, your behavior is shaped by the law of the land. The law shapes your behavior. Your social norms shape your behavior. Al-Islam, the knowledge that you have, that you acquire in anything, in physics, in chemistry, in this and that, shapes your behavior. All these things are external elements that shape the human behavior. But Al-Islam does not want you to understand that this is it. In fact, Al-Islam wants to emphasize on the internal aspects of shaping the behavior, which is faith, submission, and beauty that are manifested in the dhikr of Allah. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. The internal motive that you remember that you're always in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is always close to you, and the question is, are you close to Him? The awareness that Allah is always looking at you and observing you. The awareness that you know that He knows your most intimate details and thoughts. And therefore, because you do, what is the consequences of that? You mention Him. He's present with your on your tongue and in your heart and in your mind. That brings a motive internally within you to shape up. In other words, the fight between the reality or the intellect and the conscious that psychologists talk about. Here we believe that al-Iman, faith, submission, and beauty are the ones that instill the dhikr of Allah, which actually brings within you the consciousness that you know you do not do these things, not only because the society does not accept them, not because they are illegal, but first and foremost because Allah is observing you. Because you are in the dhikr of Allah all the time. And those who are occupied with the dhikr of Allah are not occupied with the dhikr of His creation. You all know Sigmund Freud, the Austrian psychiatrist, or psychologist, if you want to call him that way. And you know, they teach these, and these are theories yet to be proven. I mean, they're talking, they're hypotheses yet to be proven, but we'll discuss them from that point. Freud does not talk about the consciousness and the fight between the consciousness and the intellect per se, but he divides the human behavior as based on three principles: the id, the ego, and the superego. You all know that. Most of you are students here and scholars in your field. The id is the pleasure principle. The ego is the reality principle. And the superego is the morality principle, the perfection principle. What does that mean? Because Islam also believes that every soul, every nafs, is composed of the capacity to do good or to do evil. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa nafsin wa ma sawaha fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha. Fajr, wal'ayadu billah, or taqi. The worst of evils the human beings may commit. And they can commit the most pious of things, the most noble of things. The self, the human self, contains dangerous qualities, in a sense. Dangerous qualities if it's not tamed. Not to contain. Therefore, the id, or the super or the ego, for the id, the pleasure principle is what the self has. Al-Quran talks about these things. The self has the desire to collect money. I want to have more money. And it says you need to collect more money, as much money as you can. Go. Haram, halal, here, there, right. You steal, you cheat, whatever it is. The bottom line, I want more money. The intellect or the ego, the reality principle, says, look, if you steal, you might go to jail. If you rob somebody, you might go to jail. See, the intellect and the ego does not say, don't steal, for it's not right to steal. No. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. It says, don't steal, because if you do, or it doesn't say don't steal, if you do steal, you may end up in jail. If you kill people for money, if you rob people, you end up... The superego goes to say, wait a minute. That's the perfectionist standard, or the principle says, wait, stealing and cheating is not right. It's not right to lie to other people. It's not right to get money from here and there. You do what's decent. That's the superego. The problem in what we call civilizations nowadays, if we may borrow that, of course, Al-Quran substantiate some of these things. When we say we have been advanced as civilization, or as civilizations, we have usually depended on the id and the ego rather than the superego, if I may use that. In other words, on the intellect rather than the conscious. And therefore, you see advancement in many things. And we have all advanced, I mean, technology and sciences and all that stuff. But you still see a retardation in the advancement of the consciousness and the superego. You see, science taught people how to make nuclear weapons and weapons of mass destruction. Science also and the id led people to explore and exploit further than exploration, but exploitation of the needs of people and all these things of people in the very absence of the superego, if I may use that, or the consciousness. Fir'aun exploited the people of his, and always there are Fir'auns and examples of many Fir'auns. Lakin what happened is Musa is the one that came to revive the superego on the people, to tell them there is a morality principle, there is a care, for we are all humans, and Islam affirms every human life the dignity that Allah awarded this life. The superego or the conscious. Al-Anbiya came with this conscious and with these things, to employ these things, to put a standard and a balance between people. Otherwise, if people are driven by simply the id or by the desire principles, there is no stopping. For the desire of being selfish wants you to be selfish. It doesn't matter how many people you hurt. It doesn't make any difference how many people you step over. It makes a difference that you become selfish, and it is about you, 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 you. Lakin al-Islam al-Quran talks in a sense that we're all human beings and we're all sharing this ship. And we are responsible not only for the well-being, genuinely responsible, not only for the well-being of ourselves and our communities, but for the well-being of every creation Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, for we are entrusted with the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as a mercy to the creation, and we are the extension of his mercy, salawatullahi alayhi wa alihi. And therefore the sign that you already know, the hadith of Jibreel, and the faith and submission and beauty, but the sign of all that, fadhkuruni. It's not simply saying, you know, I have faith, submission, beauty. Yeah, where's the beauty? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Fadhkuruni. Let me just go through it a little bit quicker so we can put some, or talk, take some, extract some jewels out of these beautiful verses of the Quran. And wallah, Al-Quran is like an ocean filled with pearls and beauty. You just have to train yourself to be a diver. And there's no need for decompression when you come up. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ Imam Al-Qurtubi and others, they say in the tafsir of this, it means mention me, I'll mention you, yes. But it means mention me when you are well, I will remember you when you are in need. يعني اذكروني في الرخاء اذكركم في الشدة. Mention me when you are well. When you are wealthy, when you are healthy, when you are on top of the world, like you'd like to call it, I will mention you, I will remember you when you are in need. People run to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are in need. Oftentimes some people forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are healthy. But when the health is taken away from them, they run. What were you doing before? When they are wealthy, they're busy doing all these things. But when the wealth is gone, they start running. They don't, what's the answer? They're knocking all the answers. And they leave Allah as the last gate and the last door to knock. Yani the door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. That the ayah says, فَذْكُرُونِي. If you really have faith, submission and beauty, mention me when you are well and you are wealthy and healthy. you shall be remembered when you are in need. If I may give you this hadith in Bukhari, the hadith long really, but I will try to summarize it. Please open up Bukhari today or Muslim also. Hadith sahih. Well, hadith is about the three people, three young men, not the people of the cave, other kind. They worked the night. Well, at the end of the day, they said, we're tired, let's go to the... It started raining. They said, let's go to this cave at this bottom of the mountain. Let's sleep in it because the rain is getting too much until the morning. They went into this cave and the rain kept going and going and storms and winds so much that a huge rock fell from the top of the mountain and shut down the entrance of the cave, making them prisoners of their own choice, per se, or of their own choosings at the beginning. One day, 2 days, 3 days, the rain stopped. They can't get out of that cave. It's totally closed. And after a few days, when the shadow of death starts appearing to people, in a sense, when the starvation and the all kinds of meanings are being regurgitated now, when the stomach is not filled now, the all kinds of spirituality sort of rises. One of them said to the other, says, why don't we ask Allah? They tried to push all these things, and pushing a big stone, how can you do that? They said, why don't we resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do we do? First one, he says, let me go first. He went, he says, oh Allah, you know that I used to take care of my parents. You know, I'm going to make it very short. Before they sleep every night, I milk the cows for them and I bring them a jug filled with yogurt so they can drink, so they can be sustained. Older, senior parents. He says, ya Allah, you know that one day it was, I got very busy doing other things and I forgot about my parents till after Maghrib, sort of when they went to sleep. I milked and I went to find them only sleeping. But you know that I did not move. I stayed up the whole night with that jug of yogurt in my hand right next to the bed of my parents until they woke up in the morning and I gave them this so they can drink and be sustained. Oh Allah, if you know that I did this purely for your pleasure, then oh Allah, remove the stone from the door of the cave. Well, the narration says the stone was removed immediately, slightly, not enough for someone to exit. He steps back, the other one. The other one comes and he says, oh Allah, you know that I used to be a rich man. And I used to love a certain woman in my tribe. But she never liked me, in a sense. And there was years of drought that led to year to starvation. People were starving, didn't have anything to eat. She had children, she came asking me for money to feed, the children are dying. And I said, unless you give me access to yourself, I'm never going to give you anything. And she goes and comes back, and people are dying out of starvation. Until there was no way she was going to die, she says, okay, give me that money so I can feed those children. And he says, oh Allah, you know, when I got after I gave her the 100 pieces of gold and I got close to her, she started shaking, saying, fear Allah in me. And then to this man, he thought, he says, this woman here, while she's dying out of starvation, she's remembering Allah. And here I have all these things. I don't know who Allah is. He says, oh Allah, you know at that point that I left without even touching her. And I gave her some of my money. And you know that I did that and I repented and I did that purely for your sake. If you know that I did that for your sake, remove that stone. And the stone was removed a little bit, yet not enough for anyone to exit. The third one comes. He says, oh Allah, you know that I used to employ people. And one of those days I would give them the payday after the end of the day. One day, one of them left before I could give him his daily wage. I took that daily wage and I bought a little cow with it. And that cow basically eventually became pregnant, had more cows, and decades go by. Until one day after tens of years, I see an old man coming and begging. I look at his face and I remember that he is the man who used to work for me when I was young and he did not get his money. And I tell him, come here. Remember those that time and those days? He says, yes, I remember. He said, remember that I owed you a wage? He says, yes. He says, the wage now is all this valley filled with cows, sheep, and maids and servants. And the narration, the hadith of Bukhari says, تهزأ بي, don't mock me. Why are you mocking me? You're saying all this is for me. He says, oh Allah, and you know that I told him this is all for him, and he took every single cow, sheep, maid, and everything that belongs to him without me stopping anything. Oh Allah, if you know that I have done this purely for your sake, then remove the stone from the gate of this cave. And the stone was removed and they went out. The point is, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. The sign of كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِنْكُمْ. The sign of Iman, faith and beauty, is that you mention Allah and you mention Him when you are well, you will be remembered when you are in need. Let some other ulama of tafsir and others, they mention, they say, لَا فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Really, this has to do with mention me when you are above the soil. I'll remember you when you are below the soil. Subhanallah. In the dunya, as if the dunya is a game. We take it as a game. Oh, we're never going to die. Everybody else dies, but we will. We won't. So in the dunya, we are busy with all these things. We are running and rushing all the time. المرء رهن مصائب لا تنقضي حتى يوارى جسمه في رمسه. The whole day, and every day is like the next day, and every day that routine of rushing and running until you die. And some people spiritually are in a coma. What does that mean? In life, what we do is we feed the needs of the body, but we forget the needs of the soul. Oftentimes, the soul is left to starve and then to go into a coma, and eventually that soul will be awakened when people die, for the soul will have to answer also. So now the body is filled, as if the Quran is saying, the sign of your faith, iman, and beauty is that you remember me. Remember me when you're above the soil. اذكروني, when you are alive above the soil. اذكركم, I will remember you when you are under the soil. And subhanallah, you see, because you know, the one who does dhikr of Allah based on iman, faith and beauty, a dhikr is a purification method. You get purified. When you make dhikr of Allah and you're always remembering Allah, you are tahir, you are purified. There's no way that someone is dhakir of Allah and has bad tongue. It doesn't exist. He's not a real dhakir of Allah. He does not really mention Allah or have muraqabah of Allah. No way, it can never happen. There's no way that someone is with Allah and he cheats and steals. It doesn't work that way. Therefore, as if the ayah is saying, a manifestation of your faith and submission is that you mention Allah, and that mention will be protecting you eventually on earth, and therefore you will be remembered after you die. Long after you die, you will be remembered. Huh? Really, if you look at life, how we worry about our bodies. I was telling the brothers yesterday, everything in life is about our body. The soul is forgotten. So we run, and we want to put the best clothing, and we want to have the best car for our body, and the best house to house our bodies. And we want to have the titles that come after our names that usually represent the body versus the soul. And we want to have all these things, and we take care of the body. And if something happens to our body, we will pay all the money we have to take care of the body. Eventually, after 50, 60, 70, 80 years, that pampering of the body, you will wrap that body of yours and you will dump it under the soil, unattached to all these things that you really cared about. It will be down there with nothing. After all that worry about the body, what happened to the body is down there. I remember Elia Abu Madi, he's a شاعر نصراني لبناني. He's a poet that's Christian, Lebanese. He says من روائع القصائد يعني some of his nice portion of his nice poetry. He says ولقد سألت نفسي وأنا بين المقابر هل رأيت الأمن والراحة إلا في الحفائر. Says he went to the graveyard and he asked myself نفسي وأنا بين المقابر and I was between the grave. All the graves of dead people. I asked myself, have you seen peace and security and comfort except in these holes that we call graves? Why? In the dunya, people talk about you. People, you're persecuted. You're this, you're that. Whole dunya you're running. And it seems like, al hadith says, لا راحة لمؤمن إلا بلقاء ربه. Your real comfort is when you exit. For as it seems like your whole dunya is so busy, and therefore, Ilya Abu Madi, the Christian poet goes, هل رأيت الأمن والراحة؟ الأمن, security, والراحة, comfort, إلا في الحفائر. Except in these graves, فأشارت فإذا للدود عبث في المحاجر. He says, myself pointed to me to some dead corpses there, and it looked like that the worms of earth have already destroyed the bony structures, the skeleton. Mahjar is where the eye sits, the ophthalmic bone. It seems like the worms, that skeleton, that body that we worried so much about, it became food for these Andrew godless. قالت لي أيها السائل لست أدري. Myself replied to me saying, oh questioner, I don't know. انظري كيف تساوى الكل في هذا المكان. Look, he says to himself, how all people are equal now. They are reminded that they will all be equal under the soil. Everyone, regardless who you are, it doesn't matter how many chips and titles you have on your shoulder, you will all be equal. انظري كيف تساوى الكل في هذا المكان وتلاشى في بقايا العبد رب الصولجان. And in the remainder of this poor slave that you see, this used to be the king of kings. That is equal now to any slave of slaves. Not even a full slave, but only a remainder of slave. وَاسْتَوَى الْعَاشِقُ وَالْقَالِ فَمَا يَفْتَرِقَانِ. And those who love each other and hate each other, now they're all disintegrated by the soil, which makes them connected in a certain way, and they're not separable anymore. أَيُّهَا الْقَبْرُ تَكَلَّمْ وَاخْبِرِينِي يَا رِمَامِ. رِمَام يعني جمع رُمَّة أو رِمَّة. Both ways are possible in the Arabic language. يعني he says, oh grave, speak up. And oh dead corpses, talk to me. هل طوى أحلامك الموت؟ وهل مات الغرام؟ What happened to your dreams? And these things that you will do, and I am this, and I am that. What happened to them? Did death fold all your dreams and shut them down together? And what happened to all these attachments in the dunya that you had? All these loves and attachments that you can't live without this and you want this. What happened to all that? What happened to the visions? هل طوى أحلامك الموت أم همت وغرام. من الميت من عام ومن مليون عام. Tell me, by Allah, what's the difference between those who died last year and those who died a million years ago? Anybody remembers them? The sign of submission, faith and beauty, you remember him today. You will be remembered then when you need him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you always need him, jalla jalalu. فَمَنِ اشْتَغَنَ عَلَى اللَّهِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. لا فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Let me just go quickly. Maybe another opinion is the sign of your faith, submission and beauty is not... Because many people think that I mention Allah, I say Astaghfirullah, كذا. No, no, no. Mention me with your deeds. What does that mean? يعني mention Allah with your deeds. Make the dhikr of Allah in your deeds. Have your hand make dhikr of Allah. Have your foot make dhikr of Allah. Have your eyes make dhikr of Allah. How do they do? They don't touch haram. They don't take other people's rights. Have your ear make dhikr. So you do dhikr with your deeds and your actions. It's not simply a words that you utter. And therefore you see some people, when you see some people who make dhikr, but they go out and they act like monsters. Dhikr is innocent from that character. The dhikr of Allah is innocent from people like that. And therefore Allah says then, وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Be thankful to me. A sign of faith, submission, and beauty that you are thankful. Tara, I don't want you to think that being shukr to Allah is after you finish the salah, you say, Alhamdulillah. Khalas, this is your shukr. La. This is part of the shukr. Lakin the real shukr is what? Ash-shukru huwa infaqun ni'ma. That you spend shukr on the ni'mah is that you spend from that ni'mah. What does that mean? Allah gave you vision, gave you health. You spend from that Allah gave you. Not only the money that Allah gave you. Allah gave you money, Allah gave you health, Allah gave you wealth, Allah gave you so many things. You spend from that. You spend from it. Huh? Because the human, Sheikh Sidi Zayd mentioned that people are ma'adin. People are of different raw materials. And you know, it's like the rain. The ni'mah of Allah is like the rain. Sometimes the rain comes on a very smooth, solid rock. And that smooth, solid rock, after the rain comes, it becomes a trap for people. If you walk on it, you'll fall. You might even hit your head and shatter your skull. You break your skull on that